There we go. Today's passage of Scripture is in Romans chapter 12. We're going to read the first 8 verses of this, 1 through 8. And then there's 3 main points. And the first one is going to be offered, past tense offered. Second one will be transformed. And the third point will be equipped. Those three words. Well, if I remember it, I'll mention them again. Okay. Let's read this portion of Scripture. It's very familiar, and actually it's traditional that we start the year, the first Sunday in the new year, on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to go a little further than that this morning, but that's what our plan is. And there. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then verses 3 through 8, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Look at the first verse that we read. Therefore, and this comes in a great treatise of information, Romans is such a solid and wholesome book for believers. It has some dire warnings for those who are not believers. And so what is addressed here is to believers. I urge you, brethren. Brethren is that key. Brothers in Christ Jesus. I urge you by the mercies of God. And this is interesting because it means that it is only by the mercies of God that we can participate, as it says. It is by God's great movement in us as his to mercy. It is not giving us what we really deserve. But it is because of God's great mercy that the judgment doesn't automatically fall on us because of our sin, but the judgment has fallen on the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, bearing our sins in our place. And it is by those mercies that we are able to fulfill the urging that the Apostle Paul is giving to us in the passage. In this case, I urge you, by God's mercies, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Seems weird, doesn't it? I mean, you understand in the Old Testament, a person that would be offering a sacrifice, a sin sacrifice in particular, he would come with an animal, a sheep. For some, it was a ewe. For some, it's a lamb. The priest, it's a lamb. And they would bring the sheep out to before the altar, and a priest would bleed it, catch the blood in it, while the one confessing his sins would have his hands on the head of the sheep. This is an image of a transfer of those of the shortcomings and the wrongdoing upon the animal, and then the blood would be kept and sprinkled, poured out on the altar in sacrifice to the Lord, because we who are not innocent need an innocent sacrifice to atone for our own shortcomings and wrongdoing. And so the blood is poured out upon the altar in sacrifice. This case, however, Paul is saying, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What would that mean? There is no reference in Scripture for a human sacrifice except if the blood is innocent, and then only one could be offered, and that is Christ Jesus. We don't pay for our own sins. The sacrifice is not killed. It is a living sacrifice. But it is presented to the Lord. It is the sacrifice that is laid out before the Lord and dedicated to Him. And so, not only is Christ's sacrifice involved in this transaction, where the blood of all of us has been laid on the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. We'll observe that next week, by the way, of communion. Not only is that, but our standing with the Lord is identified here. We are able not to present our dead body or our own blood, because it's not innocent like Jesus' blood is. But we are able, through the blood of Christ, to present ourselves a living sacrifice. I think we have a little bit of a picture of this when Abraham was asked to offer Isaac on the altar. They were ascending into this mountain, and they had the wood and they had the fire, and then Isaac turns to Father Abraham and says, "Hey, Dad, we've got the fire here going, and we have the wood for the sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice?" Well, Abraham was told to sacrifice his son there. So Abraham responded and said, "The Lord will provide the sacrifice." When it came time for Abraham to obey the Lord and offer his son as a sacrifice. And we do know that in the book of Hebrews, we get a clear indication here that Abraham realized that if he were to sacrifice Isaac, the Lord was powerful enough to bring him back to life again. Imagine that. And so it came time for the sacrifice. And Abraham bound his son, took the knife, and was about to the stroke to offer his son a sacrifice. And the Lord said, "Stop. I know that you have not withheld your own son, but take the ram is caught in the thicket right over there and offer that instead." The Lord did provide a sacrifice. And in a sense, where Abraham is telling Isaac, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? The Lord, and in that phrase, the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. That's just what he did on the cross. His own son, butchered, bloodshed, broken body on the cross for us. Which makes it possible that out of his great mercy we may participate as a living sacrifice. And so this lesson for us here is that we are alive, and we may offer ourselves to God as that living sacrifice for God to do whatever he wants to do with us. And then it says, a living sacrifice acceptable to God. It's your spiritual service of worship. I've heard, this is a great text for teen camp, Bible camp. And I've heard it said that this verse is an indication that we as teenagers, it's been a while, we can give our body to God. Sanctifying our body by offering it to God for his use. It's our spiritual service of worship. The word offered. And in this, it is a past tense for believers. Because that is what the transaction of one who puts trust in God is doing, this very thing. Presenting himself, offering himself to God for his use. Now, some say that it's difficult sometimes because a living sacrifice keeps wanting to crawl off the altar. And that's kind of the way it is with us, maybe. Various times we come to the place where we realize, I need to put myself on the altar before God. I need him to make the decisions. I need him to establish the priorities. I need him to help to use my time properly. I need him in order to fulfill his purpose for me on this earth. And then there are times when we would just as soon say, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what, this is the plan. I want you to okay it. We can't change roles with God. He is God and we are not. But we are able to offer our body as a sacrifice to him. Verse 2. We are offered. God has planned that we may be offered to him as a living sacrifice. Verse 2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We're not to conform to this world, but we are to be transformed. Not conformed, but transformed. A great distinction. Because the word transformed here is the idea of metamorphosis. When a worm, a caterpillar, spins itself into a cocoon, and then the transformation takes place, and in a 3 weeks or so, this out from this cocoon doesn't come the worm, it becomes a butterfly. And that metamorphosis that has been an inspiration for biological science for generations, for hundreds of years, what an amazing thing that happens. That's the way it is with us too, with regard to our own mind. It seems kind of strange that I just now recalled what I was thinking about. I was thinking about a line from Star Trek. Spock has gone through all of these different things and killed and comes back to life. You know, they can do that then in those fantasy things. And then someone asks him, unless you change your mind, and Spock, the logical one, says, is there something wrong with the one I have? You change your mind? He was taking it rather literally. But what if? What if we could be transformed by the renewal of our mind so that it isn't like the mind we were using before? It's metamorphosed. The worm mind and the butterfly mind is different. The worm doesn't have to worry about how it's going to fly. The butterfly already knows. All of transformation, this metamorphosis that takes place. We can't do that. Now, there's a generous portion of our culture nowadays puts people into this weird kind of position where they can. Superheroes type of things. Superpowers that, I don't know, if you get bit by the right spider or the wrong one, then you're able to do all of these other things. But that's fantasy. This is truth. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't become like it. In fact, one translation says, do not allow the world around you to squeeze you into its own mold. Because if that happens, you'd be a moldy Christian. Be transformed, not conformed. Transformed is a, it's an amazing process. The renewal of our mind. So our motives change. Our thinking changes. Our purpose is altered. It changes. And it is something like this that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians when he said, let this mind, Paul writes it, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's not conforming to the world. That's being transformed by the renewal of our mind, that you may prove, interesting word, you may prove what the will of God is. Prove here doesn't mean that you're, it's not like proving a geometric theorem, not just establishing logic. The prove here is to prove in experience, like you would test drive a car. You would take it through its processes to see if it really will do what it is designed to do, what it's supposed to do. So I don't know, when you're test driving a car, do you drive diagonally across a plowed field? You would find out if the about the car's shocks. But this is what it kind of means. It means to prove by experience, to actually see it work and learn how it functions, if it's going to fulfill the purpose or not. That's what we do here with the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove in our experience the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Transformed. Offered. Transformed. There's a great advantage in this. But the passage doesn't stop here. Now, to get to where we're going, I'm going to read a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It'll be on the screen here. There's the title. And it's 1 through 6. And this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about a number of the way the Lord operates in believers. And I find really interesting in relation to the passage we're going to look at in just a few moments. It says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, again, brothers, this is not written to people who are not part of the family of God. These are written for those who have admitted and turned from their sin and have received the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice as our own and have been transformed and have been changed. God is occupying our own body and our own life through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand. Let me turn my page. I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now these are the variety. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. I want to show you a distinction in this passage, particularly in this slide. There are gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Gifts, it's not just talents and it's not just skills. These are things that come only from God through the person of the Holy Spirit. More just in a minute. Then there are service. Service, ministries, the things that, how we serve God and other people. But it's the same Lord. That's not Spirit. It is Lord. It is speaking about the Lord Jesus. And then, effects, but it is the same God, the general term for God, who empowers them all in everyone. I want to show you something about this. Gifts, but the same Spirit. That's what we're saying. Service, but the same Lord. Effects, but it is the same God. All right? I want to show you the actual words for gifts, service, and effects. The Greek word for gifts is charismaton. Charismaton. Maton is gifts. Charis is grace. In other words, charismaton, it is grace gifts. We can't choose those. We don't earn them. We don't change God's mind about them. Romans 11:29 says the gifts, charismaton, and calling of God are without repentance. Right? He doesn't change his mind. It's totally up to God the Holy Spirit. And in this passage in Romans, we're going to learn what those are. Then there is the service. The word, the Greek word there is diakonion. We get the word deacon from that. A deacon is someone who serves, like a waiter waiting on tables. Somebody doing simply something for somebody else, whether they're paid or not, actually. Service. And this list is in Ephesians chapter 4. Now in our series in Ephesians, we're scheduled to talk about this list on January 22nd in our worship service. 3 weeks from today. Just a warning. And energimaton. Energimaton. You see something familiar in that one? The first part of that, energy. This is the effects. This is the operation of God in the what is the result of our using these gifts and service. Now, the ones that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, with one possible exception, are these operations. Okay. Perhaps when we said charismaton, the gifts, the grace gifts. It's kind of, we get the word charismatic from that, or charisma. It's from grace. That's the term. Now we're going to look at the list of those charismaton. By the way, we looked at those gifts last August 28th in our worship service. We went through those operations. They're not the same as the charismaton, the grace gifts. They are the operations or the effects that are listed in 1 Corinthians. So, the grace gifts. Take a look at these, and I might just want to tell you that in this list, I believe every believer, every brother in Christ, every follower of Jesus, everyone that is an actual member of the body of Christ. That's what I just told you. I wasn't even supposed to be up here. It's in my notes only. Did you want to see it again? Okay. Yeah, the Greek. Here they are. These are the charismaton, and I believe every believer has at least one of these gifts. And there are seven of them. And some of the youth know what these are. In fact, when I introducing this, I could see some smiles on faces of some of our youth. Seven of them. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. So the question is going to be, which one do you have? Believer, Which one do you have? By the way, the Holy Spirit gives these, right? The Holy Spirit actually was said by the Lord Jesus in John chapter 16 of things that the Holy Spirit would do for the whole world. He would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and will glorify Jesus in chapter 16 of John. That's outside in the work of the Holy Spirit. This is inside out work of the Holy Spirit, where he does it within a believer. Because when a person forsakes his sin and receives Christ Jesus as the Lord of life, the Holy Spirit is placed into that person forever. Jesus said that in John 14. In other words, the Holy Spirit never will leave, according to what Jesus said. And the gifts are without repentance. So when the Lord Jesus comes in and in the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives a gift according to the will of the Holy Spirit, that's the gift that we will have as long as the Holy Spirit is with us forever. Some ramifications of that we'll take a look at. Now, what do these mean? What is prophecy? Basically, a prophet is one who speaks God's word. Now, we think of a prophet as being one who foretells the future. And sometimes prophets do that. In fact, there's a lot of prophecy in the Old Testament that, for example, in the book of Isaiah. I was just thinking this morning about Isaiah and this call upon Isaiah, and chapter 6 of Isaiah talking about seraphim and all of this, and how he was called to be a prophet of God, and he was supposed to announce the warning that God is about to bring judgment upon the nation unless they repent. And then Isaiah said, okay, here am I, send me. Now, by the way, how long am I supposed to do this? And if you keep reading in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it is until all the cities are laid waste because of the judgment of God, because they will not respond. Imagine getting a commission of proclaiming the word of God to a people who will never respond. He got that call when he was about 22 years old. And he died. Many believe that his death is recorded. His means of exiting this mortal coil, this earth, by means that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. It is thought that he was the one who was sawn in two. Can you imagine it? From age 22, right, when he got this call, and faithfully carried it out, and he said some very interesting things foretelling the future, some of which we saw quoted on Christmas cards a week ago. Yeah, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, we'll call his name Emmanuel. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah wrote it. Yet we esteemed him not. He was smitten. He was he did it for our iniquities. And chapter 53. There is no beauty that we should desire him, chapter 52. And never would he see repentance from his people. They did repent, but he never saw it then. Speaking God's word, telling people what God has said. Think about this for just a moment. Do you know of anybody who has that gift? Speaks the word of God. Often it is to a great number of people. Not always, but often it is. Someone who declares a warning to turn from sin and repent and come to Christ in humility and faith. Next to service. service is this is a spectacular gift. This is seeing something that needs to be done, stepping in and doing it without any care for whether they're acknowledged for it or not. The utility kind of gift. Someone that just is serves the Lord and just whatever is necessary, stepping right in and doing that. Teaching. The teaching gift is kind of a researcher's gift. This is the person who studies and needs all of the details of the passage to understand all the nuances of a scripture passage, and is able to take all of these things into consideration in order to knit together the underlying meaning of God's word. The one that can juggle all of the different passages dealing with the truth of the scriptures, and so that we don't do things that are apart from violate scripture. That's the teacher. The exhortation gift. This is one who sees the principles of scripture, the principles that God has given to us, and is able to help others, often one to one, or often in a smaller group. They don't really like the big settings usually, but they are willing to stay and work with people to establish and to work out the principle of scripture in their life and helping them do that. Okay. And then giving. This is supplying the needs of service to the Lord. And it may be many things, but it almost always is through finances, monetary gifts that facilitate ministry. Okay. And then leading. Leading is accomplishing God's purpose by gathering people together and keeping them on task. This isn't the one with a whip. It's the one that says, come on, let's go. I'm going this way. Follow me. He does it by example and by instruction and by simply obedience, calling people to obey the Lord together. Okay? And mercy. This is a heart companion for other people. Laughing with those who laugh and weeping with those who weep. One that just makes tremendous connections with people, just is so good at being able to see a need and taking the steps to fulfill the need. Now, I have to tell you that I have seen all of these in our church. And I also have to tell you that I have not been in a church that I didn't see all of these among believers. I also have to tell you that in a church there are some who have them and they never used them. But this is the equipment that God gives us. So what difference does it make? It is God's work by His indwelling Spirit inside out with believers. This doesn't happen with unbelievers. It happens with God's family. And it is in God's family that these grace gifts, charismaton, it is in the context of God's people that these are maximized. It is through the maximizing of these gifts that all of us are motivated to carry out the commission of Jesus, to disciple the nations, and to love one another as Christ loved us. God works by His convicting spirit outside in with unbelievers. What that means is that we as believers are equipped to address the needs of the body of Jesus, our church body. We are equipped. Now, we are offered, we are transformed, And now we are equipped to flourish. And not only that, but with this commission of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus that he has commanded us to have and to fulfill, that is the basis of what we are to do generally. That is our mission. And so we are also told that God works outside in to bring conviction upon those who don't believe, who have not received Christ as Savior. And we who are motivated as a unit, as a church body, are motivated to reach those that the Holy Spirit is convicting of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and the glory of the Lord Jesus. And so a lot of the work that we feel that is upon us when we go out to share the our testimony or to share the gospel with people, God has already been there. And we are empowered and equipped to do this. It is then incumbent upon us that we trust and obey as we have sung. We really need each other in this. God works according to his will, not our will. We don't tell God what we want. It's not like asking a wizard for superpower. This is taking what God has given to us and maximizing it with our obedience. We cannot maximize these gifts without using them. Think of the parable of the talents. Okay? Believers have differing gifts. We don't all have the same ones. There's two lessons for that. It's not all up to me. And I don't have to do everything, because the whole thing is shared with God's people, the people that the Holy Spirit saturates with himself. So what happens to a local church when someone is missing? What happens when we're so mobile in a culture that we leave holes in God's plan for his family? Or what happens when we have a gift and we just we're afraid, where something hinders us from actually just doing it? Who suffers? The body of Christ suffers. If you knew you could not fail, would you do something? What would you do? We could do big things if we knew we could not fail. Or, in another sense, if we failed, God would use it, which is probably a little more accurate. What happens to a local church community when we're all in together? I've seen it happen. As a youngster in the little church meeting in my family and others, meeting in the Odd Fellows Hall, which seems appropriate in some ways, simply trusting God and doing what he said to do. Not as if we never messed up or failed and stuff, but to see what God can do with people who are offered and transformed and equipped. Amazing. Would you like to know what your gift is? You can do that, taking and I've seen many, many people take this. It's a little online. Some questions to answer and about your faith and stuff. And it's called uniquelyyou.org. You go to that spot, and there's a number of different possibilities. Now, I suggest the 9 spiritual gifts only online, that's what it'll tell you. And it's the spiritual gifts profile without the DISC questionnaire. DISC is about personality types. Just doing the without the DISC questionnaire, going through to find out, you can very quickly narrow it down to three. You maybe have already done so in your mind. To find out what it is that gift is that God has put in you by the Holy Spirit. Once you know, understand that you will be expected to act. This isn't just a mental exercise. This is, remember, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove in experience. So there's action that is incumbent upon us in this process. It costs $10, by the way. If $10 is a problem, talk to me. I can get 10 bucks for you. You can do it online. If you need help, I can help you with that. By the way, I know most of you and what your gift is. I want you to know it too. Well, the Lord be praised. Pray with me, would you please? Father in heaven, I thank you that you allow us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. There is no joy in life. There is no lasting purpose in life without being able to be offered to you. And it's not such a really big achievement for us, because it's the most logical thing to do. And then, Lord, for the fact that you are able to transform our thinking, our mind, so that we can think clearly, we can think eternally, we can think of the things that are most important to you. And so in these processes, we will likely rearrange priorities. We're kind of in the process of doing some resolutions now, maybe, some of us. But I pray, Lord, that we would all rethink our priorities on the basis of the sacrifice that we offer, this mind that is you are transforming. And then help us, Father, to focus and to fulfill the call that you have on our lives by the grace gift that you have placed within us by your indwelling Holy Spirit. Glorify yourself in us as we seek to obey you and make the most of what you are producing us to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen.